David Fathead Newman with his version of Duke Pearson's Cristo Redentor. This is a very powerful piece of music, with Newman on alto sax, Brian Carrot on vibraphone, Cedar Walton on piano, David Williams on bass, and Kenny Washington on drums. This is from Newman's 2002 album, Davy Blue. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. Rather shaken up, Eutrice Lead. You could probably still hear the sniffles, but I got my lights put out by a combination stomach flu and the real thing, real flu. So, you know, you get prescribed medications to take, and then you go totally unconscious. That's what happened to me. But I'm delighted to be with you today. Today is a very special day, and it ought to be for all of us, because it's the day we pause to contemplate the life and the contributions of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. to what we call life in the United States of America, such as it is. The price, of course, we know he paid was with his life. And on a day like this, I have some, and I don't want to be bitter, I really don't. But, you know, it just hasn't ended. You know, the unwillingness simply to give honor to this great man. Today is also called the National Day of Service. And I resent that. I resent that. Because what has happened, of course, is that they're now pushing King out of the holiday that so many fought for, to recognize him and his work, in getting Martin Luther King Day declared as a federal holiday back in 1983 under Ronald Reagan. King is the first African-American to be honored this way with a holiday. And as you may recall, if you've been around at that time, it was a lot of effort, a lot of pushing. People like Stevie Wonder, lots of people from Hollywood and all over the nation. People were marching, people were demonstrating, demanding that this country pay respect to this man, demanding a national holiday for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And so it was approved. It wasn't implemented, but it was approved in 1983, with Martin Luther King Day first officially observed in 1986. For the first time, it was observed in 50 states, because even when it was approved, it was not approved in all 50 states. That fight had to continue until 1986, when, in fact, at least on paper, all 50 states decided to observe it. And that was the first time, sorry, in all 50 states in the year 2000. All of this because of a reluctance, in fact, a defiance over giving Dr. Martin Luther King his due. And after the concerted efforts of people all over the country deciding that they will put this as an agenda item, high on their agenda item, and they were going to see to it that this nation, unwilling as it was, but it should bestow this honor on Dr. King. This was not an easy fight, and it was not a short fight. It was a protracted fight, matching the refusal of the government and various state governments to do the right thing. And then soon enough came an addendum to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Which continues. The addendum is that it would not leave the day only to Dr. King, which he deserves. He deserves solo space. He deserves to be alone in the occupation of this day. But we had a governmental entity deciding to tack on to Martin Luther King Day something variously called Patriot Day and a National Day of Service and Remembrance. All kinds of efforts were made to just not have Martin Luther King and the people getting together on that day. It was not to happen, and it still isn't. I have a problem with that. The first and only holiday in these United States dedicated to honoring this extraordinary man, recognized globally for his work, for his positions, principled positions, like his stance on the Vietnam War. And now they have paired it, well, not just now, they've been doing this for a while, but now they are bold about it, pairing Dr. King's Day, in other words, they kind of shifted him over to make room for this thing called National Day of Service or Patriot Day. And it apparently didn't dawn on them, or apparently it did. Here's a black man the whole world recognizes as an exemplary person doing extraordinary things, inciting and provoking in the minds of the downtrodden, the oppressed, the idea that they should stand up for themselves and they should see to their interests. And he advocated against war, against poverty. And they will not allow him and his name to be the sole focus of the state. On this day, we are supposed to contemplate doing acts of charity, because it's also called this service, day of service. And this is a government directed project. People are supposed to be service minded today. I think we ought to do something about that. It's not that we are against encouraging people to be service-minded. But Martin Luther King should have all of the day today. That should not be a shared holiday or a shared day of remembrance. Martin Luther King deserves to be honored on Martin Luther King Day. Nobody else, nothing else. For years, this has bothered me. And people, as the years went by, they figured, well, at least we still have Martin Luther King Day. So why are you so upset about things? For one thing, it should occur to people, this symbolism of this idea of pairing Dr. Martin Luther King Day with a national day of service. Haven't black people been of service enough? Hasn't Dr. King been of service enough that now you're going to dilute the focus and attention on this man? Today, the entire nation should be psychologically oriented to revisiting his life, taking instruction, remembering him, and thanking him for his many sacrifices, ultimately his life. And they won't let him have it all by himself. Today is his day of glory, and I insist on it. We're talking about Dr. King. But before I get out of this little prelude, I just want to talk about the years that have already gone by in the quest for the simple thing. And the nation should have been so happy to get that done as quickly as possible. Imagine this started in 1983, just to remind you, when Ronald Reagan approved the idea. And it was 15 years before it actually gelled as an idea worth bringing to fruition. 15 years had passed. And then 32 years, an additional 32 years had to go by with people still struggling over the simple idea, simple thing, to honor an exemplary man. Imagine that. So as we celebrate Dr. Martin Luther King Day today, let us also not forget the resistance still continues. All these many years to get a simple thing done. A simple thing. Nations all over the world have beaten the United States to the punch. They have commemorated Martin Luther King for years now. This country, where he was born and raised, and where he lifted up this nation out of the morass, the moral morass it was in, with the Vietnam War, with Jim Crow here at home, with the social, political, and economic upheavals targeting people of color, specifically in this country. They still will not let him have his own day. So we should keep that in mind, and we should resist it. But today I want to talk, in fact, I want to ask a question, which I think we should talk about, because sadly, we too have lost focus. We too have some accounting to do for our part in continuing the work of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. So the question I want to ask you to address today is, if we really value, as we say we do, the teachings of Dr. Martin Luther King, and if we fulfill our pledge to duplicate the spirit of his work and his life, what should we be able to show as evidence of our gratitude to him and the progress we have made? That's the question. If we really value Dr. Martin Luther King and what he taught us, if we duplicate the spirit of his work and of his life, what should we be able to show as evidence of our gratitude and the progress we have made? That's the question for today. We always have to remind ourselves that apart from everything that we are supposed to do, we have a duty to our ancestors. We have a duty to honor them in what we do. Because, as we know, too many of them have paid the ultimate price for the rest of us. So that's the question. I'd like to hear your answers to that question. I'll give you a little time to get your brain together. We'll take the short break. And we'll come back to your question, to your answers to this question at 888-874-4888. 888. Right after this. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Beatrice Lead, and we're being a bit contemplative today, setting aside everything else that we could be talking about, but doing due diligence. We're talking about this man, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and the impact he had and still should be having in our lives. How did he change the world? How did he set the pace for how we try to change the world? Putting ourselves on the line. And in the years since his assassination on April 4th, 1968, we've become used to the ritual. We play a speech and that's it. No, that's not enough. I'm suggesting that today we hold ourselves accountable. We do inventory. How have we performed? Having had the benefit of his instruction, his prescience, able to see a path to freedom, not just to Americans or African Americans, but to the world of oppressed people. And ultimately paying the price for that work. And it continues still to today. But we have to indicate to the world he means something very special to us. And we are going to see to it that this day set aside to honor him is going to do just that, honoring him. He did service all of his life, and we should reject the government's idea that it should be shared with another agenda, proposing that this should also be a day of service. No, no, no. We know what you're up to. So that you once again return this black man to the purpose of service. We don't want that. We reject that. But on his day, we want to concentrate and talk about what he did to elevate us all. Black, white, and polka dot. He elevated us all, and he showed us a path to freedom, to justice, to equality. He stayed true to his course, and he was assassinated. But all over the world, it is recognized the contribution that he made and how important it is that we continue on course, not afraid, not diverted, but very clear about what the objective is. 888-874-4888. What do you think we would have had to show for all of the investment that we benefited from Martin Luther King, even his own life, what he tried to share with us without us even asking? He presented himself, he presented ways in which we could improve ourselves and realize our fullest potential while keeping an ever-encroaching government at bay to obey the law, to stay true to the law, at least the law you said you believe in, which is that all men are created equal, meaning all people are created equal. Do you feel that at any time we have achieved that stated purpose? I don't think so. I don't think so. So I'm waiting for your calls today to share with us your deep thoughts about the question. It is a question I don't recall us ever asking ourselves. What is our accountability? What is the expectation of us? We know what people should be doing and what they did wrong and what they did right or what they attempted to do and didn't get done. We know all of that. But what is our accountability in this equation? Have we held to our end of the bargain? Do we even recognize that we have a bargain here to live up to? Do we realize that we have had in our midst and we have had the benefit of you couldn't get better? We have had the benefit of exemplary people. Have we been paying attention to what they've been trying to teach us? Do we value their contribution? Are we even remotely acquainted with what they said that we should ponder and examine more fully and enact in our lives so as to release the best in us to create a whole new society in which we are active in matters of day-to-day governance? We are beneficiaries of that work as well. That we move ahead despite the challenges and the efforts to thwart our progress. Do we have that kind of courage anymore? Or do we just, you know, thank them, you know, 2 seconds worth of thanks, and then we move on with our lives? On a day like today, it's about what's on sale. What could we get on sale today? Or maybe we just want to continue the sleep that we've been in for a long time. We want to take it easy today. It's not about King, it's about us. And I'm asking us to revisit this whole thing, that how we've been living and what we've been thinking. Daryl from New York, what are you thinking today?
Greetings, Eutrice. Daryl from the Bronx, how are you doing?
Okay, thank you.
I'm glad. I'm sending you positive energy because I understand that you have what I'm pretending that I don't have. I was listening to on your old station. I was listening to a speech out of the Pacifica Archives in which Dr. King talks about agape. Well, he defines love, four types of love in the Greek that we just sort of dump into either love or charity. And as I was listening to that, and I was looking at what am I doing to advance the work, and I was much displeased with my reaction. However, I think that the more talk about what I think he called the God kind of love, or a situation in which there's no expectation from the person who you're dealing with as to a reaction that you want. Let me see if I can say this correctly. That the expectation is that through your example, that it will then change the individual with whom you're coming in contact with. And in that way, then the change is genuine and continual as compared to forced, and most people who are hurt just continue to hurt people anyway, and most of the people who perpetrate the current policies in this country are really hurt people. I mean, I have no psychological explanation for how the behavior has continued to morph more to the turn of the 18th century. I mean, it was bad enough when it was the turn of the 19th century being mimicked with the amount of concentration of wealth, the amount of poverty, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now it appears that we're going even farther back, almost to like an Andrew Jackson situation. And just to throw it in, I haven't heard how I find it just interesting that a group would pick a gun advocacy group would pick Martin Luther King Day as the day to demonstrate their need to protect themselves from themselves.
So, okay, but how do you answer the question as it applies to you yourself? If you really believe, if you and I really believe in the teaching of Dr. Martin Luther King, if we have at all benefited from what he tried to instruct us to do and to think, what should we be able to offer today as evidence that we have benefited from his instruction?
I would suggest that some fruit with regard to helping those who have a more difficult challenge than oneself, and the ability to mentally healthy bring folks along. Unlike when Dr. King was alive, there actually has been a lot of progress with regards to why people do things and how you can reassure them, other people, that there is no threat in everyone benefiting from the wealth produced in this country. I have, living in New York, I believe that there are 90 billionaires who live in New York alone, and yet there are people on the streets, and there's all this talk about no housing, and they collect the stock tax from the stock market, but they give it right back. And more than anything else, I find people have absolutely no clue as to the systems that they operate in that they depend on for their sustenance, including myself. I just found out something new today about one of the systems. I don't know, was Social Security or whatever it was. And until we are able as a people to share freely how systems operate and give people a true opportunity to participate, I was listening. If you have 16 million children going to bed hungry in this country that has well over 200 billionaires, there's got to be something seriously wrong. And in that context, even if you could convince a few of those people to spread their money differently so that no child has to go hungry and all children have access to education, that in and of itself would be an advancement. And so what I'm doing is, A, I'm looking to improve my mental health with the tools that I have access to and some that I don't have access to right now. However, I know that they exist. And the only thing that prevents me from doing it is being willing to participate in monopoly capitalism so I can get sufficient capital to do it. We have the information to move this thing along. And for fear, people aren't willing to do that. They want to go back to some comfort zone that wasn't comfortable even when they were there.
So let me ask you to get really personal about it, because you've given us a general overview, specifically as it pertains to you. What do you think that by now, having experienced Dr. King, what do you think you should be able to show as a benefit of having known him in whatever capacity?
The lesson that I take from his life, and maybe even more important than his death, is to continually, well, since I'm working on my Christian faith, continually use the power that I've been given to make things better for first myself and then for others, especially with regard to how I react to my environment. So, for example, right, if I believe what the Christian Bible says about what I am as a Christian, then there are things that I need to demonstrate every single day in order to be true to what I say I believe in. And more important than that, if I am a child of the living God of the universe, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, if he created all of this, this is what I believe, and if he says I'm his child, and that is what I believe, then, and I take as a fact that love casts out all fear, then how do I explain when I refuse to have faith in my belief system enough to act as the word instructs me to act in a given situation with no fear, because the fear would block the incredible response that I might need in order to deal with someone who's in terror.
Does it surprise you that you're saying these things?
No, I've been working on this a long time, and I'm really aggravated. No, seriously, I know that I have the ability to do a lot more. Unfortunately, the quote-unquote more human side of me says, everybody you like, everybody you respected, and I'm only 71, right? Everybody who I thought that I should model myself after just about is dead. And how did they die? Well, they died in service to their people. Yeah, right, got that wrong. But that's the game. So you name the person. I mean, I would truly love to back Dr. Barber and go down to Washington and, you know, dude, I'm not into the arrest thing too much, but organize some kind of real spreading of the intelligence that if people only understood, as my minister used to say, what they had in their hands and what they could do with what they had in their hands, at least you could flush this thing out so that if they wanted to go to a more weaponized situation than they already are, then it would be clearer to more people. And then to take the next Gandhi step, which is to show that total non-cooperation, no matter how many people die, will bring this machine to a stop. Arming, I don't think it works very well.
Well,
so I would like to arm everybody with the power that's available. I have yet to study other spiritual practices. However, I am a firm believer. I go beyond believer. I'm a firm knower that A, humans aren't the top of the food chain. B, physical reality, physical factuality rarely translates to reality, meaning something that doesn't change. If you have quantum mechanics as one of your physical explanations, that pretty much blows up almost everything that I knew when I was young about standard physics, which means that everything that is present was composed of something that is beyond the sensory range of most humans. Therefore, what I'm hearing from most people to stay in the comfort zone is, well, if it's out of my sensory range, it doesn't exist. Not so much. You're going to get hurt doing that. You need to look beyond your sensory range in order to come up with answers to the questions that you have. Now, are the facts what they are in the given environment, in the given structure? Yes, it is in your interest to abide by those facts. However, to believe that those facts lock you in to whatever that situation is, if you're not being served by it, means that you need to change that situation. How do you go about doing that? I've been watching on PBS a lot of those period dramas, or even that show that was on about the 60s and advertising. I don't understand how women did that. I don't understand how women put up with the stuff that they put up with today and still just hunker down and, you know, make a little incremental change, but are abused time and time again, and then have to explain to the abusers why they shouldn't be abused. I remember that as a child, as an African-American male in New York City in the 50s and 60s, and that was bad, but what happens to women today with the quote-unquote change in consciousness is mind-blowing for me. And yet, I have to watch every day that I'm aware of any time that I'm even close to an abusive situation, and I'm trying to figure that out. Why, if I have been abused, would I then be an abuser? Well, it's in the books.
Well, you're giving us quite a philosophical and a psychological insight. But I wanted us to get
Do you need
close.
Something firmer? Do you need something hard, fast? Do you need something firmer?
No, I just need to know whether you see the distance between everything you believe in and are trying to do to improve your life and the lives of others. How did Dr. King, in one way or the other, influence that? And are you aware that, of that?
When I see Dr. King in action, I see a true demonstration of agape love. You spit on me, and I'm walking to where I'm going. I don't have time necessary. I may say, bless you, brother, forgive you, brother, but I need to get over here so that I can do something to improve more than my condition alone, but the person who spit on me's condition. Because that person has to be horribly hurt in order to express themselves that way in the context, what does it mean to do that? Cheap example, In the Heat of the Night, the way that they portrayed the Europeans in that. Why would you react to someone that way? How is it such a great threat unless monopoly capitalism has you all balled up with, I don't have no job, I'm going to make sure nobody has no job, or if the only way that I can feel superior to you is to demean you, then I need to do that because I need to be superior because I'm not getting any response out of my other environment. So what I saw Dr. King do, especially when he was working in the North, and that Chicago March and Cicero, is do you see what you look like? Meaning the Europeans who were responding to him walking through the neighborhood. Do you see what you look like? Is that the way you want to teach your children? And in some instances, yes, because we need that kind of protection. Because if the other comes here, then I won't have anything. They will replace me. And then I will be as I have made them in my
We'll have to leave it there. Because there's one other person who's been waiting very patiently to get on.
Thank you so much, Teresa.
But I thank you so much for your contribution. I really do. Thank you. Gino from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Teresa.
Hello.
Hope you feel better with some good lemon, ginger, whatever you put in there, honey, good soups, and stay in bed.
I think you're giving excellent advice.
Yeah, no jogging today. All right, so I want to say, to give full respect to Dr. King, we cannot separate him from what his last words were. And as we know, on April 3rd, he says, I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. And I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. When he was struggling in the beginning, when there was threats and the bombs went off and he got hit with rocks or whatever was going on with the enormous pressure on him and his family, he had studied all his life, his father, his grandfather, but there came a point, waiting to that midnight hour, like the song came on. He was fearful, and he said to the Lord, he said, God, I'm fearful. I think I'm doing the right thing, but I'm afraid. The Holy Spirit, and we cannot divorce what Dr. King was used to do from that. The Holy Spirit came on him, and that man, with such exemplary courage and integrity, walked for 13 more years. And I just want to say that how that inspires me, well, people sometimes wonder if even Jesus existed. Well, I say, look at Dr. King. Look at what came upon him, what got him to do what he did, that he could live long and had a lucrative career in teaching at college and seeing his kids grow up. He sacrificed the ultimate sacrifice. Where did that strength come from? And that's what's going to get us through this. That's what's going to get us to the promised land within and without. And how do I use that in a personal way? I have a neighbor I was talking to yesterday trying to stop smoking. And I introduced him to the idea of Swami Satchidananda introducing yoga and meditation in the prison system, getting people off of heroin without going on methadone. Another one, he had an anger issue with somebody trying to rip him off at the garage. They came and took him on to put him into a psychiatric place and give him injections. To let people know about the people on the station, I tell people about you, but I tell people about Dr. Peter Bregan with his 5 books against medication, unless it's an emergency for a little while. I tell people about the nutrition show. I remind them how to meditate. And as the brother said before, be an example. On my block, there's a little kitten. I'm on this phone waiting for 40 minutes because of your question. I caught 3 kittens that'll be run over as the last batch did. I can save that kitten. I'm trying 3 nights in a row to get the last one. Get it to a place where somebody wants it. Little things, it seems like little things, but we have to do where we live. That's where we manifest a step by step, and we grow to heaven. We're like a flower. The petals, each step is as important as the mountaintops we dream of or hear about other people are at. We need to incorporate where we are. Wherever we are is where we are, and to go one step at a time. The importance of the body temple, eating right. The people around me dropping dead from cancer, heart disease. One young kid a few weeks ago took the street heroin, 27, his wife waiting for a baby, dead. It's the 5th one on my block in the last few years. So you just share. All we can do is be an example, number one. Number two, share to the links of people who know, like Dr. Peter Bregan, Gary, you. We have people on science, Dr. Michio Kaku. We got Jimmy Dore with the comedy and the politics and showing the hypocrisy of these people, doing it with humor and insight, like Dick Gregory or Richard Pryor or George Carlin. We have a lot of great gifted people in the station. If everybody were to slowly turn people onto it, they'll continue to grow. Now, it may seem small to talk to even one person a day, but at the end of the year, we talk to 365 people, about a few people on this station. And if everybody kept doing that, it'll continue to grow. So I just say keep on keeping on. And as far as you said about the courage and examples before the show ends, I think of the World Trade Center, those firemen and police who went into that building. I think who gave up their lives with what was going on. I think of the Palestinian doctor who had a medical shirt on and she's helping people protesting against being evicted from Israel who gets shot. I think of the young girl who went in front of a bulldozer when they were going to knock down the Palestinians' home that the bulldozer ran over. There are plenty of examples, most of which we don't even know. But the spirit is active and there are people who are utilized by it. And that, without the spirit, and again, to end off, the spirit always supersedes all the intellectualisms that people can split hairs with. The spirit is the ocean. The thoughts are the waves. The ocean is always bigger than the waves. So with that, Sister Eutrice, wishing you love, sir, and everybody else out there, and I wish you all a good year.
Thank you so much, and thank you for your instruction today. Thank you for your contribution. That brings us to the end of our program today. Please, as the day progresses, put yourself in the mindset of thinking about the question that we posed today. think about the answers as well that we have gotten and move on, but with knowledge and with faith. We'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.